quick reminder, guys, that this is an older episode and it does not currently reflect the state of BG Mania, a video game music podcast. We're simply re-uploading it because after I moved to Anchor.fm, it disappeared and we want it cataloged. Thanks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
BG Mania, a video game music podcast for September 4th, 2019, is made possible by Level Down Games. Check us out over at leveldowngames.com for the latest reviews and brand new episodes of both BG Mania, a video game music podcast every Wednesday, and Max Level, a video game podcast every Monday. On with the show. Welcome to BG Mania, a weekly video game music podcast brought to you by Level Down Games. I'm Brian, joined as always by, I don't have an intro because it's a composer deep dive, and Frank
the
just
deep
doesn't...
The diver himself.
Frank just doesn't hold a candle to the guy we're going to be spotlighting today. It's Frank.
The deep diver himself, Frank.
I don't think it's the deep diver.
We're talking about this pizza, right?
If there's any type of deep diving that you do, yes, it would be with deep dish pizza. Yes, absolutely. For those just joining us, what we like to do here at BG Mania is challenge ourselves to never play the same track more than once, except for special occasion episodes, which will always be announced in advance. So you're always guaranteed to hear something new, something fresh, and something exciting each and every week. Almost screwed that up. If you're new to the world of video game music podcasts, you are in for a treat. But for all the veterans that may be stumbling upon our neck of the Lost Woods for the very first time, Frank and I definitely tell more personal stories about the games we play music from and about the tracks themselves, instead of constantly diving into music theory and breaking apart each track instruments at a time. As always, we hope you enjoy the episode we have lined up for your listening pleasure today. Don't forget to head on over to Apple Podcasts or you're listening to us and leave that 5-star rating and a review so we continue to climb the charts in terms of search results. I absolutely love these episodes, Frank. Every quarter, we always pick a composer that we really enjoy and explore their entire life's work. Like, we start from the very beginning and go up to modern time if we're able to, or until like the last thing that they composed if they're no longer composing in the industry. So today, even though we don't normally talk about music theory and break tracks apart and we tell more personal stories, a good chunk of the games today we don't have a lot of experience with. I have probably maybe half that I have experience with. And I know, Frank, you are significantly less than that.
I have half of my own picks. I have no idea what about your side.
I guarantee you don't have any from mine. You might have one. You might have like one, but I guarantee that it's not going to be many. So we actually really enjoy doing these because it gives us a chance to explore a different side of the podcast and really focus on a single composer and their life, which is important because we get to learn more about them. Like, you know, we're doing Noriyuki Awadare today, And I'm a huge fan of his work because of the JRPGs that he's worked on, like Growlancer and Grandia and all of these things. Langrisser, like, he's done a lot of great stuff. Phoenix Wright. I didn't know a lot of the other things that he did, though, and specifically things about his life that when researching this episode, we were able to find those things out. And that's what always makes it fun for me. So I really do think that we're going to have a special episode today, as we always do when we do these composer deep dives. So yeah, I mentioned we're doing Noriyuki Awadare today. And Noriyuki Awadare was born in Matsumoto City, Nagano Prefecture, Japan, on April 28th, 1964. He began to compose video game music after years of being involved with university bands, and also, fun fact, is the original composer of a lot of the music that you can hear in the Tokyo Disney Resort theme park. So he actually made a lot of that music that you can hear in there. And you'll kind of listen, if you listen, you can kind of hear influence in a lot of the tracks you're going to hear today. They do kind of sound like something you would potentially hear in a theme park. He's good at that style of music. As we always do for these episodes, everything is going to be in release your order. So we're starting at the very beginning of his work and going through the end, as I said. So the opening track was my first pick, and that comes from a game known as Wings of War, W-O-R. And that was the title screen music, released January 25th, 1991, originally. That was over in Japan on the Sega Genesis. It's a scrolling shooter, and I am not familiar with this game at all. I don't even know about it.
Me as well. I looked up video on just about every video, though. At least the ones that I have no idea what Brian's tracks are. But I looked up video on each one of my games, and Wings of War was one of the ones I saw when I was doing research.
It looks interesting.
It does look interesting, but I've never played it. I have not even a fleeting glance of it prior to me doing the research. Because like a lot of games, you may have seen them played, or you may have seen them like in a Nintendo Power or some kind of magazine. I had no idea what Wings of War was.
Yeah, and there wasn't a There wasn't a Sega Genesis version of Nintendo Power. Like, you know, there wasn't like a Genesis Does or something. I don't know. I'm just trying to play off that whole thing that they did back then. But we mostly just had to stick with like GamePro and EGM and that kind of stuff to get our Sega Genesis, Master System, and later Genesis console news. But you mentioned something while we were listening to that I think is really interesting, because the name of the game is Wings of War. And you're like, Brian, I feel like I want to go to space while listening to this. And it really does have that, like, going on an adventure, exploring other worlds type of a feel to the track. It does.
It's definitely like an old timey war track, but it has something to it, like more of a fantastical is the word I'm looking for here. More of a fantastical feel to it.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that as well. Yep, absolutely. All right, man, let's move on to our second song on today's episode. And it's another one of my picks. I had the first two because I had the first two in release year. And this comes to us from a game known as War Song. The name of the track is Player Phase Number 2. that was Player Phase Number 2 from Warsong, of course composed by Noriyuki Awadare, that released April 26, 1991 on the Sega Genesis over in Japan. It is a tactical role-playing game, and it's actually part of the Longrisser franchise. In Japan, it's known as Longrisser: The Descendants of Light, but for whatever reason, when they released it in English, they changed the name and called it Warsong. Every other game after that was known as Langrisser here in North America. So this is the only game in the Langrisser franchise that didn't actually have the Langrisser name here in English, which is kind of weird. But it's similar to Fire Emblem in nature. So if you've played Fire Emblem, you have a general understanding of the way that Langrisser is, I guess, controlled. But I absolutely adore this track, dude. It's so freaking good.
It definitely is a Genesis track. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Just hearing it has that feel to it. It could have fit in a Sonic the Hedgehog for like a really cool zone.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I could totally hear that.
The whole time listening to it, I'm like, why is this familiar? Why is this familiar? It's not. It's just a feel that you get off that chip.
Yeah, it's the Genesis feel. I mean, obviously, a lot of Genesis tracks do sound somewhat similar. And I think that's a blessing because the Genesis has such a undeniable tone and it's so recognizable. And it's really, really cool. The soundtrack for Warsong also had Isao Mizoguchi and Hiroshi Fujioka assisting Noriyuki Awadare on there, so that's actually pretty cool. They did several tracks, and this particular track, Player Phase Number 2, because I am familiar with Warsong, this is a game that I've actually played. It's the opening battle music, and it takes place at your base, your camp, the castle that you start out in. And what's cool is that Noriyuki Awadare is still active in today's modern gaming scene. He is actually working on the soundtracks for the Android version of Longrisser. This particular game is getting an Android release soon, so he's redoing the soundtrack for that. But he's also working on the soundtrack for the upcoming MMORPG on PC for Langrisser, known as Langrisser Schwarz. So he's still out there doing stuff to this day, which is really cool. He's really only working on a couple things here and there, but at least he's still active and still composing music, and we're still getting new stuff from him in 2019. That's pretty cool.
You wouldn't shock me if you told me he had like a track in Smash Brothers somewhere.
Oh, he does. Absolutely, he does.
Oh, of course he does. Why doesn't he? Every composer does.
Yeah, he absolutely does.
You know, I'm going to take you to a nice, fun little game that I've never played, but I am aware of. Actually, I'm aware of this game. And then I have some fun facts for when we come back. This is the battle music from Blue Almanac. That was the battle music from Blue Almanac, which came out in Japan, June 22nd, 1991. We wouldn't see it here in the States until 20 years to the day, June 22nd, 2011. Isn't that crazy?
How cool is that? How cool is that? It was released on PC here when that actually, when it came out here.
Now, the game itself is, that's the best way to describe it, a futuristic role-playing game. Very much so like Phantasy Star.
Yeah, that's what I've heard about it, because I looked into it a little bit when you submitted your list, and I've heard a lot of people comparing it to Phantasy Star 2, to be exact.
Yeah, and that's why I know about it, because my buddy is a nut job for the Phantasy Star games. Like,
okay,
we all have our series that we love. That's his. And he's like, yeah, this is like it's right there in the same kind of thing. And he has it. He played on PC. I've seen this game. It didn't even click with me until I actually saw the cover when I was doing the research. I was like, I know what this is. I actually know of this. And of course, I picked the one track in a game that wasn't composed by him. I had to pick a new one.
I know. Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that was funny because Masaru Suzuki was also on the soundtrack, and that's who you that's the composer you had actually picked.
But the reason I like this track, and I'm kind of spoiling you a little bit for something's coming up, has a very Mega Man feel to it.
It really does. And you know what else? You know, this is another Sega Genesis track. And really, our first eight picks or seven picks are all from the Sega Genesis. Noriyuki Awadare was a great Sega Genesis composer. He was pretty much everywhere on the Genesis. He was elsewhere as well. But really, a lot of his work is found on Sega consoles. But to me, this feels like, I know it's battle music, but it almost feels like bonus stage music.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like the Sonic bonus music, or really even, I heard a lot of influence of like Super Mario Brothers bonus stage music in that as well.
It has a very, and I always get these ones mixed up, it feels a little bit like Airman from Mega Man 2.
Yes, I can also hear that as well. Yes.
And that's why I love this track. It was my instant alter. I think when Brian goes, no, you gotta pick a new track, I had him to him in like, what, 20, 30 seconds?
Oh, yeah. No, it was fairly quick.
I pulled so much music for him because I went deep into this category, these games, to the point that some of these games Brian's never even heard of, which is cool. I actually like surprising Brian. You know,
yeah, you actually have... You have a track coming up that... I had not even heard of, like, from a game that I have not even heard of. So that was actually really cool to me. And there's several things that I get to experience for the first time on this episode, just like you get to experience a lot of my tracks for the first time. But what I like about doing this deep dive into Noriyuki Awadare is that, you know, I'm familiar with him, as I said, from the beginning of the show, from like the Grandia stuff, the Longracer stuff, the Growlancer stuff, the Phoenix Wright. But he has a lengthy catalog of music from games that, again, as Frank just mentioned, we've not heard of. So it really allowed us to discover a lot of new things and add it to our knowledge as well, which was always fun for me.
Yeah. In fact, I can't wait for you to hear this next one. I've been hyping Brian up for about a week now.
I'm looking forward to this one. Yeah.
I absolutely adore this next track. It doesn't have an original title to it, but it has a good feel. From the game Steel Empire, this is Stage 5-2. Stage 5-2 from Steel Empire, which came out in 1992.
Yeah, March 13th to be exact over in Japan.
Yeah. No official date because you know how things were here in America. You just get your game when you get your game.
Yeah, exactly. I pulled all the first dates for my research because that's the order I put the tracks in.
Of course.
But in 92, yeah, or I'm sorry, in North America, it was just 1992. That's all it says.
So this is a steampunk-inspired, side-scrolling, shoot them up. It's, you know, it just like I was telling Brian, like the Mega Man games are set in like 20XX or 21XX. This is set, you know, in 18XX.
Is it an alternate like reality type of a thing or alternate universe?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's like Zeppelins flying around with like flying battleships, or everything is steam powered. You are from the Motorhead Empire, so obviously
the Ace of Spades.
Let me bless us all.
Yes, exactly.
But it's cool. It's very, very German inspired. It's just such a cool looking game. I was telling Brian, I would love to go back and play this, but I don't know how well, you know, this game's almost 30 years old. I don't know how well the game would have been aged. But the music, man, that bass line just carrying you through the whole thing. Just
That was literally my favorite part of that track. That bass line was so epic. Like, that was a fantastic track itself. Like, I really enjoyed that. Definitely the strongest thing I think we've played so far today. And will certainly be tough to beat as we continue to move forward. But, wow, yeah, that bass line was incredible. I really, really, really was digging that.
And it's crazy. Like, keep that in your mind when you listen to other tracks, because there's such a disparity between like what he does. Like, he has such an eclectic set of music. Like, he's stuff like this. He has nice slow songs. He's all over the place, and everything is awesome.
Yeah, that's why I really like him, man. Like, he isn't a, like, he is known, and I would venture to say he's well known, but he definitely isn't like up there near the top. But when you look through his repertoire of music and everything that he's worked on and composed, he really is very versatile and just makes amazing music for everything that he's worked on. It's pretty impressive.
I mean, you think of other people out there who are like, there's composers out there who I hear the song, I instantly know it's them. And not in a bad way, but like Tim Follin.
Yeah.
I could tell you a Tim Follin song in like three or four beats, because they all pretty much sound the same, but they're different. I didn't feel that way when I was going through this catalog. Obviously, there's little things here and there, but most of the stuff just seemed original, and I really, really like that. This is really why I love these deep dives, because a lot of these games I never would have looked into. Like, you know, for a radio hour, I would never have picked one of these tracks, because these are things just out there in left field, and then some. But it's great. Like, I have some things coming up that I really can't wait for you to hear.
Yeah, I'm excited. But you're right, though. He doesn't actually have like a style or like a distinct thing that separates. Like, that, where you say, oh, yeah, that's definitely Noriyuki Awadare. There's a couple tracks I would be able to pick out instantly based off of franchises, but that's just because of my knowledge that I know he works on those franchises. If I didn't know that, it would be hard to differentiate him from anybody else, because he is so, like I said, he composes in such a wide variety of stuff. But that also makes him very cool. I like that a lot.
It is cool. I love it.
Did you know we do more than just BG Mania here at Level Down Games? For those who are unaware, we do a weekly all-purpose video game podcast known as Max Level every Monday morning. Featuring myself, Frank, Sean, and Kyle, the four of us talk about the hottest topics in gaming that week while discussing the games we've been spending time with over the past 7 days. Not only that, but we detail the new releases for the week, including a fun Metacritic guessing game. Speaking of games, if you're into trivia, Bonus Stage is a competitive segment where Sean, Frank, and Kyle compete against one another in a series of 5 questions to see who is the champion for that particular week. Max Level is always a lot of fun and entertaining, while still providing the news you need to know on a weekly basis. Not only that, but the latest reviews, impressions, reaction videos, and podcast episodes can be found on our main home on the internet, and hopefully one day yours as well, leveldowngames.com.
I guess we're going to go a three-peat on the old Frankster right here, huh?
Yeah, you got one more before we get back to my picks, yep.
All right, so from another game that spawned a hell of a lot of games from it, or with it, in this series, this is Stage 2, the Purple Sea from Glalancer. We'll be right back. And that was stage two, the Purple Sea from Glaylancer. I misspoke there earlier. I was completely wrong, which is an oddity, of course.
Yeah, right. the oddity.
Glaylancer was a one-off. There was no actual series of Glaylancer games. In fact, the game really even shouldn't be called Glaylancer. It should be called Greylancer.
Yeah, I actually noticed that when I was doing a little bit of research myself. This is a case of just mistranslation, and it should have been Greylancer.
It happens. I do believe they call it English.
English, yeah. English is like what they say, like if something gets mistranslated from Japanese to English. Yeah, absolutely. Another rocking Sega Genesis track, though, that came out July 17th, 1992, over in Japan. I was not familiar with this game either. I had never heard of it, so.
I don't know if you pulled up any video on this one, like when you're doing your research, but this one looks fun as hell, too.
Yeah, it's another like side-scrolling shoot-'em-up. Like he composed a lot of music for that genre. He did.
Then again, those were really strong games on the Genesis during that era, so it all makes sense. It was right time, right place, right guy to do it.
Absolutely. And again, that track also had another like pretty epically rocking bass line kind of holding the entire thing together. So what I looked into for this particular track, I found an interview with Noriyuki Yawadare, the guy that we're doing a deep dive into today. And he said that when he composes melodies, he still uses a pencil and paper while doodling on the piano or guitar. Other times, he takes a walk and sings some melodies to figure out what works. When he makes arrangements, he normally works things out on the piano. However, he usually has a clear image of what sound he wants to go for at that stage. And I thought that was kind of neat. So he gets a lot of his inspiration from just kind of like walking around, which is kind of
like... Where the hell is he walking?
Well, I don't know, but I really don't know that. I can't answer that. But it reminds me a lot of like how Nintendo works, because you hear like when Nintendo composers and, you know, designers like Shigeru Miyamoto, they get a lot of their inspiration from just literally walking around through nature. And I believe when we did our Yoko Shimomura deep dive, she also had mentioned that she gets a lot of her inspiration from real life things and walking around and just doing things out in the world. So it is kind of interesting to see a lot of these similarities between composers and different companies all coming together. Like, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Let that be a lesson to everyone here. Don't be like me sitting here playing video games all the time. Get out and take a walk. And then maybe my mixtape would be awesome. Because, you know, I'd be composing the fire, yo.
Yeah, you know, Jessica and I actually started going out on 30-minute walks once a day after dinner. We didn't do that yet today because we're recording after dinner, but we will do that later.
That's my fault, guys. I'm sorry. I'm personally killing Brian.
No, you're not killing me, but we weren't able to do BG Mania on Saturday like we normally do, so we are doing it on a Sunday evening. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, as I always say, I am in the studio 90% of the time, so it's kind of nice now that we started doing this the past couple days to get out, walk around, you know, again, 30 minutes at a time, just going around the block, going different places. It's been fun, and just spending time together. That's just been really fun, and, you know, more exercise is never a bad thing, so... Never a bad thing at all. But all right, man. Yeah, it's time to move back to my picks. I have two coming up before we get back to yours. And the first one here is a game that is only a Japanese name. So I apologize if I mispronounce this one. From the game Maten no Sumetsu, this is Airship. Thank you. And that was Airship from Maten no Sumetsu, composed by Noriyuki Yawadare, that released December 29th, 1993 on the Sega Genesis. It is a role-playing game. And Frank and I tried to figure it out while listening to the actual music. It doesn't actually translate to anything in English, so I have no idea what the English translation of the name would have been had it released here in North America, but we don't have to worry about that because it only, you know, was exclusive to Japan. This RPG is known for being very, very difficult. Like, supposedly one of the hardest games on the Sega Genesis to release in Japan. And that kind of excites me because I wish I would have been able to play it, especially because it's an RPG. So I'm sure that even though it may have been challenging, I'm sure I would have really enjoyed it. But I found out a fun little fact that this game is also known for having very clear PCM audio. And PCM audio stands for Pulse Code Modulation. It is the digital representation of sampled analog signals, and supposedly is one of the better sounding Sega Genesis games. And after listening to the soundtrack, I can kind of hear what they mean by that. It is a very crisp, very clear sounding soundtrack. And it's actually really cool to hear. Like, I like that a lot.
Honestly, if you didn't tell me the name of the title of this, I would have guessed to either been an Airship or an Overworld theme, just based on what I heard.
Oh, absolutely. Airship music is very distinct. And actually, we did an entire episode on Airship music earlier this year. If you want to hear additional Airship music, you can go seek that episode out. It was sometime in January or February of 2019 where we realized it was actually January. I think it was the second or third week of January where we took a look at 16 different Airship music tracks. And everything, even though they were different, they all still had the same type of feel. This fits very much in line with that Airship feel.
It's crazy how, you know, it's just one of those things, like, you could always tell a water track. You could always tell this. It's perfect. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Noriyuki Yawadare just, I mean, you know, this is the only Airship piece of music that I listened to from him. I don't know if he has any additional out there. I'm sure that he does because he's worked on so many other Japanese role-playing games. But this is the one I listened to in prep for the episode, and I really enjoyed it. I think he did a great job with this one. So very good. Very, very, very good. But I have another track coming up that I think that, Frank, you are really going to enjoy. And of course, as I mentioned, we are sticking with the Sega Genesis. This is our last Genesis track of the episode, actually. So after this, we'll be moving on to different platforms. Still some Sega stuff here and there. But yeah, this is our last Sega Genesis track. From Langrisser 2, this is Knight's Errand. Was Knight's Errand from Langrisser 2, composed by Noriyuki Yawadare, that came out August 26th, 1994 on the Sega Genesis. It is obviously the second game, the follow-up to Warsong, actually, again known as Longest Rover in Japan, that is another tactical role-playing game. And also features Isao Mizoguchi on the soundtrack, who, if I'm not mistaken, yes, was also on the Warsong soundtrack. So Noriko Adore and Isao Mizoguchi returned to do the soundtrack for Longrisser 2, which is actually pretty cool. And they actually released an arranged version of this entire soundtrack on October 26, 1994, and it was put out by Toshiba EMI over in Japan. A very, like, the name of the track is Knight's Errand, so it's a very, like, regal, knight-feeling type of a track. And that's K-N-I-G-H-T, you know, like,
King Arthur,
Knights of the Round Table type stuff.
I thought it was, I'm more like a battle theme to me, which makes sense if you're the Errant Knights.
I would have a feeling that this is, and I've never played that.
I feel like it's a war song.
I mean, probably, yeah. Play on word there.
They don't always land, but I try.
I think that this is probably a battle theme. It probably is. And it's very good. It's very good. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I get that. Like I said, I don't really know. It's like, it isn't medieval, but it's very knighty, very epic in that style. And I like it a lot.
That was a awesome track. I was tapping my toe to that one, to be honest.
Yeah, like I said, man, and again, there was another like pretty awesome bass line. So I guess if like we were so far bringing anything out that is his style, is that he can make a killer bass line.
It's awesome. I live for the bass.
But we're going to finally move on now from the Genesis.
Do you know what time it is?
It's
Morphin time.
Oh, yeah. 7:55 actually.
Yes. My track is from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, the game for Game Boy. This is Goldar Stitch. That was Goldar Stage from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, the game for Game Boy.
Yeah.
Do you have an official release date on that one? Because all I have is August 95.
August 95 was all I was able to find as well.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Yep.
For people who are unfamiliar, Goldar was one of Reed Repulse's henchmen, the guy who looked like a wolf, who wore like the big armor and stuff and the wings.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you play this Game Boy version of this game?
I have not played the Game Boy version of the game. I believe this also came out on Super Nintendo and Genesis around the same time.
Yes, I found out that this version of the game is very similar to the Super Nintendo version.
I've played them both.
I've played the Super Nintendo version.
I've played both of those. I was actually into Power Rangers at this time. I was a 13-year-old boy.
I was starting to fall out of Power Rangers around this time. I was 9, but Power Rangers, like, I used to watch it early 90s. Like, that's probably when I was, like...
This was the tail end.
Yeah, this was definitely tail end. So I had already kind of lost interest in Power Rangers. I had moved on to other things, other interests. But I still played this game because...
Like what? At 9 years old? Heroin?
Yeah, I mean, it is Ohio. No, I'm just kidding.
I was about to make that joke myself, but I stopped myself because I didn't want to insult our awesome Ohio audience. O-H-I-O.
No, I don't know, man. There's just a lot of other interests I had at the time.
That was a great childhood years for us. There was lots of cool stuff at that time, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just... And getting ready for the Nintendo 64, that was all over Nintendo Power at the time because it was going to be coming out in a year. So just I had moved on to other interests and other things. But I played the Super Nintendo version, and this was an okay game. It wasn't great, but it was okay.
Yeah, it was just all right.
Yeah, but the soundtrack is excellent.
It is. This is another one of those games where, like, just like Ghostbusters for the NES.
Okay,
They left it the black character. Why you gotta do a brother dirty like that? Come on, video games. Zach was an important part of this team.
He actually was a very pivotal part of the team that was not there. It's just not there. But I really like this soundtrack because not only is Noriyuki Awadari on there, but Hitoshi Sakamoto is also on the soundtrack for the Game Boy version and other versions as well. And Hitoshi Sakamoto, another fantastic Japanese composer that worked on several other JRPGs that I am absolutely in love with, like Final Fantasy XII, to be exact, and Final Fantasy Tactics. Like, these two coming together to make the soundtrack is pretty special. So the whole thing is pretty good. We all have photos on our phones or cameras or posted to our social media accounts. But when you get that perfect picture and you want to turn it into something real that you can see every single day, PosterBurner.com can turn your photos into amazing prints. Imagine walking into your room and seeing that perfect family photo or vacation picture on your wall. Or, if you need to get a gift for family or friends, there's nothing in the same price range that is going to be as impressive and meaningful as a custom print. PosterBurner.com is easy to use, it's affordable, and the quality is truly top-notch. They make amazing posters. And when they say posters, they don't mean those flimsy posters you see in stores. This is super thick, premium photo paper. And you can get a 24 by 36 movie-sized poster for under $20. They also make premium canvas prints, metal prints, decals, stickers, banners, cell phone cases, and more. Do you want that perfect artwork you recently saw of your favorite video game character on your wall for everyone to admire? Now's the chance. Or better yet, what about something you personally designed and worked on, blown up and hanging above the sofa in the living room? Anything is possible with PosterBurner.com. Just don't order a movie-sized poster of Frank and put that on your wall. You don't want to scare people away. Go to PosterBurner.com/BGM today, and you'll get an additional 10% off of your order. That discount applies to every type of print that they offer. Again, that's PosterBurner.com/BGM.
I got a game for us that never came out here in the States.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited to hear this one. This is another one that I've been waiting for.
This track is called The Black Curtain. This is from Monstania. Thank you. And that was The Black Curtain from Monstania. Came out September 27th, 1996. Japan only.
Yes, Japan only. Yep. And this is our first Super Nintendo track. The only Super Nintendo track we're hearing today.
Yeah, I really did want to get something, you know, just from his... That's why I picked the Game Boy game as well. I wanted to kind of just jump around because we could have stayed in Sega the whole way if we really wanted to.
We absolutely could have. There was more than 16 games on the Genesis that we could have picked from.
I also grabbed a PS2 just to grab a PS2 game.
I got a PS2 as well because I wanted to have it. Yeah, there's a very specific game I definitely wanted to make sure was included. But looking into Monstania while listening to that, first of all, I want to talk about the track. I really like that. That actually... It might not be better than the Steel Empire track you played earlier, which I would argue might still be the best track we've heard so far today. Knight's Errand was pretty good from Langrisser 2. That was probably the one that gave it the closest competition. But I think this might be more enjoyable for me in terms of music than both of those. I really like what this track sounds like. And I also like, being that this is a Super Nintendo game and a Super Nintendo track, you have that, like, that I don't really know the way to describe that sound effect that happens throughout the music, but it's very much reminds me of something that we hear in Super Mario World. It sounds like the Yoshi, like jumping on a Yoshi, that sound effect that persists throughout the track.
I heard that. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking of. And it reminds me so much of like Super Mario World.
It's that mount and dismount sound that you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It really does sound like that. Even though that's not it, it sounds very similar to it.
Just looking into this game, because obviously I didn't play it because it's not in English. It looks absolutely everything you would love in an RPG. The characters look very much... like they were made by Akira Toriyama.
Yeah, I was looking at it while we were listening to it. It's very much a game that I wish I would have been able to play. I really wish this would have been localized. And it came out so late in the Super Nintendo's life cycle, September 27th, 1996, as you mentioned. The Nintendo 64, if I'm not mistaken, was already available because it came out a couple days prior here in North America in September of 1996.
Now, I don't normally advocate emulation, but there are English ROMs of this. You do want to give this game a chance. I think it's one of the few exceptions I'd be willing to make.
Because I agree with that, in that I believe for older retro consoles, if a game was never localized in English, playing a localized ROM, I have no issues with.
I think it's fair, because this is something I actually want to check out. It looks absolutely amazing. Like, I'm enamored by how good this looks for a Super Nintendo game. But it makes sense, though, because it was at the very, very end.
I definitely want to check this out. But I also, looking at this here, it's known for being very short. Like, this, it's known for being a short game.
I have a video up here. It's a full playthrough, 3 hours and 40 minutes from start to finish with credits.
For a strategy role-playing game, that is incredibly short. That is incredibly short.
I'm wondering if that's maybe that's trying someone try to do a speed run. It's I pulled up a long play and it's 3 hours and 40 minutes. So.
No, what I'm saying is that the game is known over in Japan as being very short for the genre. So that sounds like three and a half hours sounds like it's probably the entire game with nothing skipped. And that's actually fairly disappointing. So, yeah, playing a ROM of this, it would be certainly interesting, especially if you could really finish it in a couple hours. But I'm curious to why it ended up being so short. Like, I wonder if maybe the budget got cut, or if because it was so late in the cycle, they wanted to quickly move on to the Nintendo 64, whatever this team was. I don't know. I have no idea.
They were working on part two for the N64. Like, we got to get this one out now. We can't part two.
Exactly, man. Exactly. But speaking of part two, you actually gave me a great transition there, because we are going to go to a second game in a series. And we've only played one track from this particular franchise in the past, even though there are several games in this entire series. From Lunar 2, Eternal Blue, this is Blue Spire. We'll be right back. And that was Blue Spire from Lunar 2 Eternal Blue, composed by Noriyuki Awadare, as everything is today, as we're taking a deep dive into his catalog of music. Came out July 23rd, 1998, and that was released on the Sega Saturn as well as the PlayStation, but that particular version is from the Sega Saturn soundtrack. It's a remake of Lunar Eternal Blue, which itself was a sequel to Lunar Silver Star Story. I said, there's a lot of games in this franchise. There's a lot of remakes, a lot of sequels, and several other games as well. We actually played a track from Lunar in the past that was actually in our, I want to say it may have been either it was in our emotional episode or it was in a radio hour leading up to our emotional episode where I was playing one emotional track per radio hour. It was one of those two. I can't remember exactly which one it was, but it was the boat music from Lunar, which is a beautiful track as well. Also composed by Noriyuki Awadare. But Lunar 2, obviously being a sequel to Silver Star Story, it's another role-playing game. And the Sega Saturn version of this particular soundtrack has much better quality music over the PlayStation version, thanks to that PCM encoding that the Saturn also had, just like the Genesis when we talked about it in the Mata no Sumatsu airship music track earlier on in the episode. So that post-code modulation is still here in the Sega Saturn. Noriyuki Awadare said that his goal was to produce music that contained a high degree of originality when compared to both the previous game and role-playing games in general at the time. While the original game's music represented a number of styles and genres, Awadare purposely narrowed his range of composition to give the songs a unified feel. The soundtrack is one of Noriyuki Awadare's favorites that he has ever worked on to date. Like, he still thinks the soundtrack to Lunar 2 Eternal Blue is some of his best work, and it's his actual favorite one that he's ever worked on up through now. And in fact, the first award he ever won was in the Lunar franchise. It wasn't for this particular game, but he won the Best Game Music Award for the Sega Genesis version of Lunar the Silver Star back in 1991. And I thought that was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. I like that song. That's, like you said, he does slow, he does rockin', he's all over the place.
Yeah, and I definitely wanted to make sure that we had one slow pick on the episode, because he does have a lot of slower stuff out there, and I really enjoyed this one. The drum in particular in the background is some of my absolute favorite stuff I've heard on the episode today. The way that the kick drum is, and then you have that snare hit followed by the tom hit, like, and it just sounds like it reverberates through the soul almost, man. Like, I could feel that whenever, I don't know if that's actual like real instruments or if it's samples. I'm not 100% sure, because that's not something that I'm an expert on, but whatever that is, like, when it plays, I can literally feel that in my bones. Like, it is a very good thing. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it kicks, man. It's like a heartbeat. You feel it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, fantastic track, and really a beautiful piece of music for what is a dungeon theme. Like, that plays in the Blue Spire, which is a dungeon in the game. So it's very, very cool. I would love to check this out, because again, I've never played Lunar 2 Eternal Blue. I would absolutely love to check this out at some point in the future, just to see how it is, man. Because again, that doesn't sound like dungeon music.
Brian, I'm officially adding it to your backlog.
I have way too much stuff in my backlog, but I would love to get through like some of these Japanese role-playing game franchises that I've not played all of them from. You know, I've played a couple games in the Lunar series, but I've not played them all. So I would love to, just like I'm trying to do now with the Legend of Heroes series. I'm trying to go through every single game. So it's a tough challenge. It really is. But I have another track coming up, and it's actually the reason why we scheduled this deep dive into Noriyuki Awadare and the time that we did. And I am so excited for you to hear this one, Frank. From Grandia 2, this is Fight Version Number 3, otherwise known as Middle Boss Battle. We'll be right back. And that was fight version number 3, otherwise known as Middle Boss Battle, from Grandia 2, composed by Noriyuki Awadare. That released August 3rd, 2000 on the Sega Dreamcast, and that particular version of the music is from the Dreamcast version. It came out a couple years later on January 28th, 2002 on PlayStation 2, which is where I actually played it. But I've heard that the Dreamcast version is distinctly better. Like, and I would love to see why. Like, I actually played the version on PS2, and I still own the version. I own all 3 Grandias on PS2.
Did he compose both?
He did. He worked on both, yes. But I've heard that the game is better on the Dreamcast than it is on the PS2. The music is very similar. But yeah, he again, it's all just CD-based audio at that point. So, but what an awesome, epic, freaking battle theme, dude. Like, I love this a lot. It kind of starts out very Power Rangers almost. Yeah. Like, you kind of hear that when the track first starts out. But then it kicks to this instrument that I wasn't able to place. I don't know exactly what that instrument is. But oh my god, like, just that it persists throughout the melody. It's very good. I would love to know what it is. If you know, feel free to leave us a comment or send us a message on social media. You can definitely tell us, because like I said, we are not experts when it comes to instruments, except if it's like your basic rock instruments, like bass, guitar, my guess, drum.
I have a guess of the theremin. Let me know if I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not sure. But Grandia is one of my favorite Japanese role-playing game franchises that, you know, we will never see another one of, as we've talked about in the past, because the creator of Grandia passed away and they don't want to, you know, continue the series without his vision behind it, which I totally respect and understand. But this particular soundtrack for Grandia 2 was designed around the idea of creating a more mature product than the previous title, Grandia 1, as well as the first in the series to feature fully three-dimensional graphics in terms of the gameplay. So that's actually pretty neat. But like I said, the reason why I wanted to do this deep dive into Noriyuki Awadare at this time is because the HD remaster of this and the original Grandia just released on PC and Nintendo Switch back on August 16th. And it is actually based on the Dreamcast releases. They are not based on the PS2 versions. They are based on the Sega Dreamcast. So I do own this. I have yet to play it, but I am looking forward to jumping in and playing through the Grandia and Grandia 2 remasters whenever I have some free time, which who knows when that'll be, but I would love to do that soon. And Noriyuki Awadare actually won another award for the Grandia franchise. He won Best Game Music for the Sega Saturn music of Grandia 1 in 1997, and in the Dreamcast category also won Best Game Music for Grandia 2 in 2000. So he did win an award for the soundtrack.
That's awesome. I mean, because trust me, as soon as the track kicked in, I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, this is a fantastic battle theme, dude, and it's so cool. Like, you know, we've heard so many battle themes throughout the history of BG Mania, and every single time, man, they are very epic, very rocking, usually, and it's always good stuff. It really is.
Now, I teased it a little earlier that I spoiled you. Mr. Awadare definitely worked on a Mega Man game as well.
Yeah, one game and one track.
Literally, one game, one track. So from Mega Man X7, this is Higher the Air, also known as the Air Force Man stage. We'll be right back. And that was Hire the Air, the Air Force stage from Mega Man X7. Came out October 14th, 2003. Like Brian said, the only track he did for a Mega Man game ever.
Yeah, and the only game he worked on in terms of Mega Man, the only track he composed for that. I thought that was really cool. This soundtrack has a ton of composers on it, like 9 different composers.
Yeah, and this is actually, I've played Mega Man X7. This is the PS2 game. This is a cool stage.
Is it? Yeah, I've not played X7, so I'm not familiar with this stage at all, or the game entirely, so.
I think the guy's name was like Windcrow or Windcrowman, something along those lines. But it's pretty cool. I don't know if you're a big fan of the X games, but the X games are all right. Like, I'm more of a regular Mega Man game, but this is one of the better X games, in my opinion.
I only played a couple of the X games. I played 1, 3, and 4, I think, were the only ones that I actually played in terms of Mega Man X games. I also am more of a fan of the original Mega Man games like you are, and the Zero games are quite good as well, but which we are getting that Legacy Collection for Zero next year, so.
Which I have to get. I need it.
Looking forward to that. But I really like this piece of music. It definitely has, it's very Mega Man, obviously, because it's in a Mega Man game. But it's also very, like, you can tell it's a air-based theme. Like, it has that feel to it.
It had that instrument again, which I'm guessing now is a synthesizer.
Yeah, I'm curious if that is the same instrument that we heard there in the previous track, in the Grandia track, because it sounds similar. It might be different. I don't know. It definitely sounds more like a synthesizer here in Mega Man X7, but it didn't quite sound like a synthesizer in Grandia 2. So I don't know if it's actually the same, but it very much might be. It very well could be. I don't know. But great pick. I really like that a lot.
Takashin, I'm taking full credit.
Yeah, that was a good one, man. That was a really good one. All right, Frank, I want to talk about something special that Level Down Games gets to be a part of. For those who are unfamiliar with Kyle, you can hear him weekly every Monday on Max Level, as well as catch his streams at twitch.tv/Bruce_deduce every Tuesday, Thursday, and either Saturday or Sunday. This month, on the 21st and 22nd, he is hosting a charity event on Twitch with several different streamers involved. So far, it's around 6 or 7, with potentially more set to be announced at a later date. And some of them are even verified with significant audiences of their own. They'll be raising money for the Las Vegas PBS Special Needs Library, as Kyle himself is a pediatric doctor of physical therapy in Las Vegas. We encourage everyone listening to participate in the StreamWorks Alliance charity stream this month on September 21st and September 22nd. Information can be found by going to leveldowngames.com and clicking on StreamWorks Alliance in the menu bar. We'll see you then. I'm excited to move to my next track, though, man, because it's something that is pretty special. Not only because I really enjoy this game, it's definitely one of my favorite games that Noriyuki Awadare composed the music for, but because of all the backstory and the lore behind this particular track, and I'll explain all that when we come back after listening to it. From Radiata Stories, this is the Incarnation of Devil Radiata version. And that was the Incarnation of Devil Radiata version from Radiata Stories, composed by Noriyuki Awadare. This came out January 27th, 2005. It is a PlayStation 2 game. It's another action role-playing game. But I mentioned how there's an interesting story behind this particular piece of music. And anyone that is familiar with Japanese role-playing game compositions may have picked up on that track. So this was developed by Triace and published by Square Enix. This is actually important because prior to this game, all Triace developed games were composed by Motoi Sakuraba. However, to keep things in line with the development team's tradition to refer back to their previous games, Noriyuki Awadare rearranged and recomposed three of Sakuraba's original compositions. The Incarnation of Devil is one of them, which is also featured in Star Ocean 2, Valkyrie Profile, and Star Ocean 3. The other two are Mission to Deep Space, which is found in the same three games, and Highbrow, which is only found in Star Ocean 3. So this is a Noriyuki Awadare rearranged version of a Motoi Sakuraba-composed track. And I thought that was really interesting because I never knew that all Triace games had the same composer until Radiata Stories, that they always used Motoi Sakuraba. This is the first time that they didn't.
That's pretty freaking cool, Ryan.
Yeah, this is the first time that they didn't. So this is actually really special for me because I am very familiar with this piece of music and I actually had forgotten that it was in there. But I had never put two and two together that, holy crap, this is actually from Star Ocean. Like, I've heard this in Valkyrie Profile before. You know, all fantastic games that Square Enix should get off their ass and stop sitting on. Like, you know, put out more Star Ocean games and make them better. Put out more Valkyrie Profile games. Yeah, just do things, exactly. You know, make another Radiata Stories because it was a fantastic game.
Final Fantasy IV Remake!
Final Fantasy 16. Like, all of these things. Like, just do stuff, man. What are you doing? Just do stuff. Just hire more people and do stuff. And stop just not doing stuff. Stop taking forever.
You bastards.
Yeah, man, this was really cool. So I always like when we get to hear a different composer's take on somebody else's work. And that's really cool to me.
Brian, I want to talk to you about Poster Burner for a second.
That was actually a couple tracks ago, Frank. You missed it. You missed our posterburner.com/BGM ad.
You know, Brian, I got a nice one here that if you make fun of me for the title, I'm going to smack you upside your goddamn head.
I mean, but the title does accurately describe you, so you made a
it
great
doesn't
pick.
Because I'm very, very much about the hygiene and cleanliness.
You made a great pick. You made a great pick to represent yourself on BG Mania this week.
From Phoenix Wright, Trials and Tribulations, it is Frank, the man who is very well endowed and has an awesome personality.
That's not the name of the track.
Is it Larry Butts when something smells? It's usually me.
That's it.
There we go. That was Larry Butts When something smells, it's usually me. From Phoenix Wright, Trials and Tribulations, which came out August 23rd, 2007.
Oh, what a stupid name for a track. Why is it called that?
Well, Larry Butts is the client.
I know, but when something smells, it's usually me. Why would, like, why is that in the name of the song?
He's a very farty and flatulent man.
I guess so, because his name is Butts, B-U-T-Z.
I honestly picked it because it had the longest title I could find, and that's just a running joke between me and Brian, how these games always, you know, these Japanese games always have just crazy long titles. So.
It's a funky freaking track, though, dude. Like, that is a very funky piece of music. I like that a lot.
Again, it's a completely different thing that, you know, this is not his norm. I don't think he has a norm.
Yeah, he doesn't. And that's what makes it so, that's what makes Noriyuki Awadare so exciting, is that you never know what you're going to get when you actually go into a game soundtrack. So it's actually pretty cool. And this is the third game in the Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney series, which is a series that is very, very good, actually.
I was mentioning to Brian, I didn't even notice this. I always make fun of him. Well, for a litany of reasons, you know, looks like a woman and he's an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have nothing right now, but
that's true. You have nothing.
Because I don't make fun of you.
And your pants. I'm a good guy. You have nothing in your pants,
Brian. I leave divots behind me in the ground while I walk. I'm just dragging this thing around.
That's just because you're fat, Frank.
First of all, I'm not fat. I am festively fit.
Festively plump.
Okay. And bullying is a serious thing. You shouldn't be doing this to me, okay? I have feelings.
Festively plump. Okay. Like a Thanksgiving turkey fattened up before dinner.
Yes, I'm a nice goose. But these Phoenix Wright games, I always make fun of them for playing these visual novels because I find them to be things that, you know, 16-year-old girls would play.
Sure.
But I've played a lot of Phoenix Wright games and they're all visual novels, so I'm sorry, yeah. Brian.
You should be. Because
this is a jerk. You know what? I take it back.
Visual novel games can be quite fun because it's all about the stories, man. And the stories in Phoenix Wright are fantastic. Like, that's what's exciting about these games is that, you know, you're not doing anything else in them. You are just solving cases and getting the story presented to you. That's why it's a visual novel and you're making your choices and going through and moving on to the next panel or next series of events. But they have some great stories behind them, and that makes visual novels fun to me. So I like that a lot. But I do like that track, man. I really do.
All right. So I'll go to my next track while I'm at it.
Yeah, you have your last pick coming up. We have two tracks left, and yours is first because mine is the latest in the episode today.
Well, after you've made fun of me, this is where I want to send you, Brian. Okay. I get to force my transition.
It might be kind of fun down there.
Trust me, it's where you're going no matter what.
Yeah, I'll be waiting for you. Well, actually, no, you'll be waiting for me. You know,
absolutely. I'm going to be dying Tuesday. So. From Kid Icarus Uprising, this is Hades Infernal Theme. That was the Hades Infernal Theme from Kid Icarus Uprising, which came out here March 23rd, 2012. I hate this game with every fiber of my being.
Why?
I did not have any enjoyment from this whatsoever.
That's surprising to me, you being such a big Kid Icarus fan.
I love Kid Icarus. Kid Icarus 2 is one of my favorite games of all time.
Why didn't you like this? You just didn't like it, huh?
It was on rails, for the most part. You were constantly moving forward. I didn't like that whole having to play with the stylus thing. It was too out there. It's kind of the same reason why I don't like spirit tracks and such.
Okay, I can understand that.
I don't like the control. Like, if this was a regular, just, you know, not even free run, but if you only go forward, we're only moving one plane, that's fine. But don't move me. Give me some more control. Let me do my thing. I would have had a lot more fun with this. The only lasting legacy this game has in my collection is I still use the stand that came with it to hold my DS up when it's being charged.
Okay, yeah, I forgot. It did come with a stand. I forgot about that. Yep.
But the track itself, again, listen to that. It's completely different from what he did, and it's my kind of music. It's the chants. It's the very evil kind of orchestrated. You had the violin in there. So beautiful. I love
you made it. You made a joke about the whole, like, Sephiroth from, like, Final Fantasy VII.
Yes.
It does sound like they're saying that. I am curious to know what they're saying. It's not Sephiroth, but I'm curious to know what they are actually saying.
It could be cherubim. It could be any kind of order.
It could be anything, yeah.
Seraphim, any kind of order of angel in general.
Yeah, like, it's really cool. Noriyuki Awadari did a really good job with this particular track. And the first time, well, no, not the first time. It is the first time we're hearing a 3DS track, because the Phoenix Wright track before this was just regular DS. Yeah, regular DS. And I did a lot of research on this particular track because it's actually another interesting case. Only a few tracks were composed by Noriyuki Awadari for Kid Icarus Uprising. This is an all-star cast of composers for Kid Icarus Uprising. Not only is Noriyuki Awadari on there, but we have Motoi Sakuraba.
Yes, we do.
We have Yuzo Koshiro.
Yep.
We have Masafumi Takada, Takahiro Nishi, and Yasunori Mitsuda. Like, these are all excellent again, composers.
Because, again, I just, in my fervor, I saw, hey, he composed this game. I'm going to pick this track from this game. And of course it wasn't him.
No, I think you had actually picked him a Toy Sakuraba track.
I absolutely did.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that I messed up, because I got to dig deeper and actually find the ones that belong to him. And I love this track. So,
yeah,
it was a happy mistake that was rectified in seconds.
Motoi Sakuraba was the lead on Kid Icarus Uprising, and he was kind of in charge of putting everything together. So he wanted to use composers that had contributed prominently to Super Smash Bros. Brawl on the Wii. So he actually pulled all these guys together that helped him out with Smash Brawl, and they made the Kid Icarus Uprising soundtrack. So I thought that was actually really cool. And the music involved both live orchestral music, synthesized tracks, and tracks that combined both musical styles. Noriyuki Awadari was asked to create memorable melodies, but found creating suitable tracks was difficult because a lot of his initial pieces that he submitted to Motoi Sakuraba got thrown out, like they didn't actually use them. So he got a little discouraged and actually had a hard time composing music for Kid Icarus Uprising. According to Yasunori Mitsuda, the live recording of music spanned 7 full sessions, estimated by him as being the largest scale musical production for a video game to date at that time in 2012. Noriyuki Awadari, obviously, we just listened to it. The Hades Inferno theme had mixed choral, circus, and violent elements to both symbolize Hades' contrasting attributes and distinguished him from Medusa. So that's why you have like that mixed choral, a little bit of circus feel, and just some like epically violent stuff going on there as well.
There's one thing we love here at Limited on Games, it's epic violence.
Oh yeah, dude. Epic violence for sure. Yep. Always a good time. Always a good time.
And video games, I guess.
Always a good time. I do have the pleasure of closing out the episode this week, though, because my pick comes from the latest in Noriyuki Awadari's career that we're looking into. I went to June 9th, 2016, so 4 years after your last track. And we are actually still on the Nintendo 3DS, though, because I went to the 6th entry in the Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney franchise, known as Spirit of Justice. The track we're going to listen to close out the episode is Mr. Ryu's The Masked Magician, which is it does kind of have like a magician-y, paranormal, supernatural-esque feel to it. You even mentioned a little bit of like Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So this is a really cool track, dude. I like this one a lot as well. I just, like I said, I like, and well, Twin Peaks, you said. It's like, it's just,
I didn't follow up into that, yeah.
Yeah, like just all these different things that, you know, all of like Doctor Who, Twin Peaks, those shows themselves have a paranormal, supernatural feel to them. It's cool that this particular track, which kind of sounds inspired by that, also borrows from those same themes, and it's pretty cool. I almost said cool like Cartman. Pretty cool. Didn't mean to say it like
pretty
that.
Pretty cool, guys.
I don't know why it came out that way, but it almost did. So yeah, we're going to close out this week with Mr. Ryu's The Masked Magician from Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, Spirit of Justice. But I had a lot of fun, Frank. I think this episode turned out to be phenomenal, and I kind of knew it would be.
I can't wait for our next deep dive. 3 more months.
Yeah, we'll be doing another deep dive in December, as we always do. We always do March, June, September, and December. Those are our 4 months that we do a deep dive, and it's always a lot of fun. I'm not going to spoil it who we got coming up in December, but he is another mega star in the world of video game music, and it's going to be a lot of fun getting to explore his, and I already kind of gave away that it's a guy, but it'll be fun kind of exploring his music as well later this year. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, that's going to bring us to the close of the show this week, unless you have anything else you wanted to discuss before we get on out of here.
Brian, I think we said it all.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for sticking with us and listening to another episode of BG Mania, made possible by leveldowngames.com. Don't forget to submit tracks, ideas, and requests for future episodes to BGMania @leveldowngames.com. Also, shout out once again to posterburner.com. And do not forget to head on over to posterburner.com/BGM to get an additional 10% off of your order. Once again, that is posterburner.com/BGM. Regardless of the podcast service you're listening through, be sure to show your support by leaving a rating and a review, especially if you're listening through Apple Podcasts. We'd also be grateful if you could drop on over to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/leveldowngames and subscribe to us there. And if you have not done so already, while you're at it, hit up twitch.tv/leveldowngames and click that follow button. We are not live often. I say that all the time. If you want to follow someone that is live every single Tuesday, every single Thursday, and every single Saturday or Sunday, that's twitch.tv/Bruce_deduce. BRUCE_DEDEUCE. Catch him streaming a multitude of different games, but as of recently, it's been all World of Warcraft Classic all day, every day. And again, remember to check out that charity event September 21st and September 22nd. That's actually this month. We're already in the month of the charity events. That's going to be neat. Stalking us on social media is perfectly acceptable. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook would be a place to do so. Check the description box for the appropriate links. Next week, Frank, I want to explore a soundtrack that we've played several pieces of music from throughout the entirety of its life cycle, because there's been several expansions to this particular game. But just last week, World of Warcraft Classic came out, and the hype, the fervor, the fanfare, the excitement that's been surrounding Warcraft once again, I want to take advantage of that, and I want to play some music from World of Warcraft Classic. We're going to come prepared with 16 different tracks, and I want to ask you now, I'm going to leave it up to you. We've played a couple tracks from World of Warcraft Vanilla, which is classic, before. Are we allowed to pick from them again? Is this an episode where we can make an exception, yes or no?
I will allow it, just because you want to capture the magic that actually is the original, you know, Vanilla.
Okay, there's only one track I can think of that I think definitely deserves to be played again. So we'll go ahead and allow repeats next week. So again, next week we'll be taking a listen to the World of Warcraft Classic soundtrack, which if you want to play with me, I'm currently playing on the Pagle server on the Alliance side. And I also have a Horde character on the Fairbanks server, so you can either take your pick. I'm not on the Horde character often, but I am on the Alliance character pretty much all day, every day.
Brian, I have a question for you before we go, though.
Yeah.
Why didn't the warrior cross the road? No path available. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Taking us out of this episode once again. We have Mr. Ryu's The Master Magician from Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, Spirit of Justice, composed by Noriyuki Awadare, as everything was on this episode, and we took a deep dive into his category of music, and it was a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Mr. Noriyuki Awadare, for giving us all of this excellent music and continuing to provide so much enjoyment for all of us in the gaming industry. Keep the music playing and keep it loud.